What up, what's good? It's your boy South Breeze 706. It's Committee Podcast. We got your boy Dolphin Savage, Marcus Sniffles, and L Breezy. What's good?
What's going on? What up?
What up, what up? What's up, what's up, what's up, ladies?
With the throwback jams, we'll start the podcast. So what we're going to do this week is I'm going to give y'all a little sports edition since the draft is coming up soon. Seems like the season just ended last week, but we already got the draft coming up to hopefully try to improve our teams to get us to a better place. Or with that being said, I know Warren Sapp had a couple things to say about the consensus overall number one pick, Myles Garrett from Texas A&M. What was he talking about, Marcus Nozzles?
Yeah, well, Mr. Sapp decided to speak his opinion out on the draft, the consensus number one overall pick, defensive end, Myles Garrett out of Texas A&M. And he said, "I see a lazy kid that makes four plays a game. This is the number one guy. No, 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 this ain't even close." And I saw that, and I don't understand what he was trying to do by saying that. It sounds disingenuous. He said he's watched a couple of games on him, and he just says, you know, he makes a few standout plays and then disappears for the game. And it's just funny coming from someone like Warren Sapp, who has had these same kind of issues. He had the same issue coming out of Miami in the draft where, you know, he failed some drug tests, and then people started spreading
issues, but go ahead.
I understand that, but they also put out a story that he was doing cocaine also. And that's what also
that do football. I do cocaine every day.
Jesus.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you're not a professional athlete either, so
I am.
Do with that what you will. But it just doesn't make sense for someone who had off the field issues to speak on someone else, and to try to. It's almost like he's trying to hurt someone else's draft status, and it's like when you're coming from a position where you had your own draft. Like he was a top five talent, and he ended up going number 12 to Tampa because of unfounded rumors of him doing cocaine at the University of Miami. And I think it's disingenuous. I think it's kind of messed up for him to just say that out of nowhere. And it's like, why would you try to do something like that to bring another athlete down like that? Especially when you have the things that you have in your past. And I'm not even talking about while you're on the field. I'm talking about your off-field activities. You can do a quick Google search on Warren Sapp and how he likes to get down. So it seems odd coming from him for him to say something like that.
Well, just to let you know, you seem like a bit of a hater because drugs, cocaine, methamphetamines, whatever he was using, the guy never used any roids or anything that can directly enhance or take away from your game as far as football. The one thing that I will say in defense of Warren Sapp, a guy who had over 100 sacks for a career, coming from a defensive tackle, essentially
beast.
Beast revolutionized the three technique. You can look at the tape, and you can't say at any point during his prep career, throughout most of his NFL career, he took plays off. So me, being Warren Sapp, being an NFL legend, being a Super Bowl champion, if I want to give you my critique and say you make splash plays and you take plays off, that's a fair and honest assessment. Because I've heard
Well, hold on. Well, if he says he makes four plays a game, I mean, shit, if those four plays happen to be sacks or strip sacks or fumble recoveries, I'm cool with that.
Is it a fair and honest assessment if you haven't watched every play? Because there's draft experts that watch every play, every down. And they have not said anything like this. Warren Sapp said he's watched, and this is his own words. He said he's watched a few games, and he has made this sweeping indictment on this kid. And I don't see how that's fair. And if anybody's a hater, it sounds like Warren Sapp is a hater.
Well, no, it doesn't sound like Warren Sapp is a hater. Go ahead. Well,
I don't think he's hating. I think he kind of came in at the wrong way to call the kid lazy. I don't think he's lazy, but I mean, just how he did it was wrong. I mean, I look at Myles Garrett, I don't see a lazy kid. I mean, he does make plays. But, I mean, now it's starting to come across a lot of scouts that maybe he's not as good as he was advertised to be. I mean, and I guess, like, you look at some of the guys that he went against like when let me see, like Tunzel. Like he went against Tunzel, some other good tackles, Cam Robinson. And I guess you look at that and see what he did against those guys, but I wouldn't call it – I wouldn't say he's lazy. He only makes four plays, and then that's it.
You wouldn't
well,
say
– the thing about, like – when it comes to players like that, like Myles Garrett and say, like, Jadeveon Clowney, everybody remembers the big plays that he made, the big hits where he's knocking people's helmets off. People remember those splash plays. And the thing about that is – you can't make that play every down. People expect that from him. And because he didn't knock someone's helmet off in the backfield every play, everybody was just like, oh, he's not good. He's lazy. He doesn't try hard. And that's not the case. He's still making plays. Just because he doesn't get a sack or tackle in the backfield doesn't mean that he wasn't double teamed on the play to get someone else open to make a play. And I'm not one to say that, oh, I've watched 3 or 4 games on this kid. This kid is lazy. It's not fair.
So tell me this.
I don't want to say it's not fair.
With you being an expert, Mr. Marcus, with you being an expert on all things.
I'm not Mr. Marcus.
Whatever you want to say.
Come on.
What's your analysis of the kid? Since you've obviously watched all the tape on him and everything else.
Did I say that?
What's your analysis?
Did I say that I've watched all the tape on this kid? No, I didn't.
I'm
say
just
that.
Saying what you said.
What did I say?
What's your analysis on the kid, sir?
I think he's a good player. He's a top 5 prospect.
How do you know? How many games have you watched of the guy?
Not that many.
Shoot, I'm about to watch a highlight video.
You've obviously watched zero.
I've never watched him play either, to be honest with you.
Okay, but there are people, Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, other drafts.
All those guys, busted picks.
Yeah, that's not a good
okay, hang on a second. I'm not saying that just because they have him being the number one pick, that doesn't mean he's going to be good. But they are saying, based on the film that they've watched and the scouts that they've talked to and the teams that they've talked to, that this guy is a number one overall pick. I don't know if he's going to be good or not. My thing is to go out and to put out a comment that nobody asked for and to say a kid is lazy, a kid who is not getting paid to play. If the kid wants to take a playoff in college, so be it. If you want to take a playoff to preserve your body until you get to the league to make some money, I'm fine with that. And if Warren Sapp wants to go and call him lazy, I'd be cautious of throwing.
That's why your team has no damn defense, because your people, fans like you, are okay with people plays off. That's why your team has never had a defense.
All right, 4-6.
We don't want to get into that because your team hasn't made the playoffs in how long? When's the last time y'all made the playoffs?
Look, I don't even believe, because you know what, the system is designed to hold the black man and the obviously
the Jaguar
owner down.
Oh, okay. I don't think there's really too much ethnicity being held down when you're a billionaire and you own a football team for fun. But
well, like I said, that has nothing to do with how his team sucks. The guy, I've watched this dude. I've watched games. I've been watching a lot of film breakdown of the dude. I've been watching cut-ups. And I will say, like, yesterday in particular, I watched the cut-up of Cam Robinson, and they did nothing but his matchup with Garrett. And you've seen plenty of times where Garrett could have made a move to the inside, had him beat. He could have did some swim moves. He could have displayed some type of defensive skill. Instead, he was just rushing. Okay, who's tap dancing in the background? Please shut the fuck up. Thank you. He was obviously tiptoeing around, dancing, wasn't doing what he had to do. I think that Warren Sapp, being an NFL legend, has a point here. The guy does take plays off. He's not as good as advertised. Everybody's enamored about his size and his skill set. But, I mean, look at it. What did he have, like 8 sacks last year, 8.5 sacks?
Question, though. Do you think that everybody's kind of going crazy on him because there's no top quarterback to be taken in the top 5, really? Or, I mean, what's a weak class of quarterbacks?
I think everybody's going 6'4 to 6'6, 274, 275 pounds. He can run a 4.5, 4.6, 40, and he's strong as an ox. But when I look at the guy, where are the sacks? I mean, we look at a guy like of course he played in the SEC. He played top talent. But I'm not trying to say that I'm trying to see Terrell Suggs out there with 24 sacks in a year, but 8.5, really?
Would you say he's the best defensive end in the draft?
I'm saying for the skill set that he has, I have yet to see the talent go with it. That's what I'm saying. And I agree with Warren Sapp.
I'd be curious to know how many other defensive linemen he's called lazy outside of Myles Garrett. Because I'm sure if I do a quick Google search, it's probably zero.
Probably none.
And that's my concern. This is not what he does. Warren Sapp doesn't come out of nowhere to say, oh, you know what? This guy's lazy. He shouldn't be the number one pick. He didn't do that with Jadeveon Clowney. He didn't do that with Andrew Luck. He hasn't done that with any potential number one overall pick. And when you just pick another defensive player randomly to be like, oh, this kid is lazy, then it's questionable. It looks questionable on him.
How does it look questionable? He's telling the truth. I mean,
because he's never done it before. That's why it's questionable. He's never done it to anyone else. He's never.
But to me, that makes it that much more of a polarizing statement that out of everyone, and he's been in the league since 1995, out of everyone that he could have made this comment on, he makes a comment on this guy. And I'm going to give you a couple of guys that were also athletic freaks that busted. Aaron Curry was supposed to be a can't-miss prospect. Trash. Deshaun Golston, pretty much the same thing out of Ohio State, was supposed to be the next big thing at pass rusher. Trash. It happens. You're a physical freak in the gym. When it comes time for the football season, or for the football games, we don't see anything that backs it up. And like I said, I question the guy's effort too. I was asked earlier today by, of course, our correspondents. I am a classic 904 or Ron. And he basically said the same thing. He said if he happened to fall to us, would I want him? And I said, no, I don't want the guy.
Okay. And either way, like, obviously you cannot predict who's going to be good in the draft. Nobody can do that because there are people who have said that, you know, Jamarcus Russell would be good and he wasn't, and Aaron Rodgers wouldn't be good and he wasn't. Like, all that stuff is irrelevant to me. My issue is the fact that he came out there and felt the need to trash someone that's about to be a professional athlete. There was no reason to do that. And I just, it honestly makes him look like he's hating because he's not a draft analyst. He didn't break down all the plays. If you broke down every play that
Curry is viewed by some as an elite prospect entering the 2009 draft, explosive athlete, 4.56 40, 25 reps on the bench, 37 inch vert, 124 inches on the broad jump, did the cone drill exceptionally well, the short drill, the 20 yard drill, great. And it was essentially the same.
And this dude's a defensive tackle?
Defensive end.
Oh, he's an end. Okay. I'm about to say, this dude's built like a tight end. Like, this dude has, like, no body fat at all. I think I just saw him, like, power clean 4:15, like it was nothing. Watching the video of him, this dude's, I don't know, man.
Do you think coaching could help him out, though? He gets to the league? You think he goes to the right team with the right D-line coach?
Like they were saying, they said that he doesn't have a killer instinct. Now you're combing that in with the fact that he's lazy. He doesn't have the production to back it up. The Browns are about to inherit another bust. Sorry, Cleveland fans.
If they take him, we'll see. I mean, like last year, how the Rams and the Eagles jumped up. I don't think a lot of people thought that was going to happen. I mean, who knows what might happen this time around.
Shout out to Aaron Curry. He coaches the Charlotte 49ers here locally in Charlotte. Might have to come see you, buddy.
Shout out to my resident Cleveland Browns fan, the Cleveland Crook, who last I played him in Madden, I beat that ass. So holla at me to share him when the game comes out so I give you some more at work. But yeah, so tying in with the draft, what we want to do is with our prospective teams, just go over a couple of things, a couple of key points with the drafts. So we'll start with El Breezy. He's a Titans fan, so he'll give a little perspective about the Titans. As far as a recap of their seasons, what he feels their biggest needs in the drafts are. Also, draft prediction as far as the first round pick, who you think they'll get versus who you actually want, and then your season's prediction for the record. So go ahead and knock that out.
So, yeah, so I'm a Titans fan. Recapping last year, we was 9-7. I'm not going to lie, I was kind of shocked that we actually – ended at 9-7. I thought it was gonna be like 5-11, to be honest. But yeah, last year we finished off kind of not strong because Mariota ended up getting hurt against the Jags. I mean, we did beat the Texans the last game. But last year going into this year, point blank period, the secondary needs to get fixed in this offseason. I mean, we picked up Logan Ryan. I don't think that's enough. A lot of fans think that's enough at corner, it seems. We picked up Jonathan Cyprian from the Jaguars, which I wasn't too happy about that from seeing how he played when we played against him and seeing him play against other guys. But I guess we're going to probably use him a little bit differently than what the Jags did. Going to the offseason, going to the draft with the first pick, because we have two picks. We have the fifth pick and the 18th pick. So I'm hoping with the fifth pick, and I know other Titan fans out there might hate me for saying this, but everybody's saying we need to get Mike Williams or whatever. I'm not too fond of the guy. To me, if you draft a receiver in the top five, I want a guy like Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, freaking Odell Beckham. I want a guy like that if I'm drafting him in the top five. I don't see him as that. To me, if you're looking at Clemson receivers, look at him, look at DeAndre Hopkins, Martavis Bryant, like, I don't – Sammy Watkins, he's not on that level. To me, those three guys on a whole different level than what he was. But I don't want us to draft the receiver at five. Me, honestly, I hope we get Jamal Adams. If he falls to us at five, we need to get him. As far as who we're going to draft, I'm kind of torn between – I don't know. We could go Adams. We could go Lattimore. We could go Allen. I know it was a lot of reports out there saying that we really liked Jonathan Allen. And that, I mean, just because we have Darrell Casey, who picked up Sylvester Williams for the Broncos, and we have DeQuan Jones. DeQuan Jones, he's a good starter. He's good. He holds it down. But they were saying just because we have him, that doesn't mean we wouldn't get Allen. But I don't know. My gut feeling, I think we're probably not going. I don't know. I think we might get Adams. I think we might get Adams. Because I think he'll show up that the back end of the secondary. And, like, last year we ran a lot of sets with 3-4 safeties out there one time. And right now we just have three. So adding him – and I know I've seen a couple reports, too, that they were saying just because we added Cyprian doesn't mean we wouldn't draft Adams or Hooker or whoever. But I don't know. The predictions for this year – I don't know. I've been seeing some things ever since the schedule came out. I've been seeing some crazy
5-11.
we could be better than 5-11. I've seen some people saying, like, from within the first 7 weeks we'll be 6-1, which I'm like, yo, you need to chill on that shit. Like, it's a tough schedule, and I'm glad we're actually having a tough schedule, because I want to see Mariota perform against these tough teams. Because last year I feel like we didn't play against enough top defenses, and it seemed like when we did, he ain't really perform too well. But I think we can like how Dolphin Savage said, we could, worst case scenario, I would say 5-11. Best case scenario, I think we'd be 10-6. Best case scenario in a weak division. But I mean, we gotta win in the division, because shit, last year we was like 2-4. The Colts swept us. I don't know how the fuck with an old ass running back the Colts swept us.
I mean, you keep talking about a weak division. The division is weak because of teams like the Titans and the Jaguars.
And teams like the Colts.
Who also fucking suck, just to let you know. The Colts are sorry. They have an overrated quarterback, but
But Dolphins Savage, so year after year, these niggas are handed the division. And they can't do shit with it when they get in the postseason.
And y'all's two teams have not been to the postseason. So what have y'all done with it?
Well, regardless of that, sticking with the quote-unquote weak division, the AFC South, Marcus, what do you think the Colts' future holds with the God QB, Andrew Luck, a.k.a. the greatest quarterback prospect since John Elway?
A.k.a. the caveman.
Are we
Geico insurance.
Talking about – yeah, last season wasn't a great season. It just came out last week that Andrew Luck has had a shoulder injury since 2015, and that's kind of been lingering around for about 2 years. So he hasn't been able to play as well as he should have played, and that seems to be the reason for it. Last year we had a pretty bad season. He was on and off the field. A lot of offensive linemen got hurt.
That sounds like a bunch of fucking excuses.
Okay, and we had issues with our general manager and head coach, which led
what else would you expect?
Which led to the firing of the general manager, and we got the assistant GM from Kansas City. As far as the draft goes, what I would prefer them to do is to, you know, go defense in the first round. like El Breezy was saying, we do have one of the oldest running backs in ancient history in Frank Gore. And this is a pretty heavy running back draft. I've seen a couple of mock drafts that have us taking Dalvin Cook out of Florida State. I prefer that they go the route of the DB out of Ohio State, Conley, or taking the linebacker out of Alabama, Foster. And drafting a number one first-round talent in defense in the first round, and then hopefully in the second round being able to pick up a running back like Joe Mixon, who has off-the-field issues and, you know, will probably slip in the draft and might slip to us. Because our season was so bad last year, we do have one of the easier schedules coming into this year. And I think we can honestly go about 13-3. Like, as they were saying, we play in one of the weakest.
Wow.
We play in one of the weakest divisions in the NFL. And with our quarterback seemingly coming back healthy, we've made a couple of free agent moves that look pretty good on paper. I think we can go at least 13-3. We have a very, very
oh, hell easy, no. Hell
we
no.
A, we yeah. have a super.
How do you look at yourself in the mirror?
Say, how do you look at yourself in the mirror?
Come on.
We have a hella easy schedule.
You have a sign for crying out loud. Come on, man.
I mean, we play the Browns and the 49ers in the first 3 weeks of the season. Then we go Titans, Jaguars back to back. Like, we don't have a tough schedule. Our schedule's pretty
what
easy.
What is that supposed to mean?
That means y'all are trash. That's what that means.
Hey, 28-3 sounds division. Trash to me, though.
I'm just going to edit that out so it doesn't matter. Continue.
13-3.
This has to be the biggest crock of bullshit.
Is because our quarterback was hurt last year. And if you want to look at, say, like a proxy or an example as to what we can be this upcoming year, I would look at a team like the Cowboys from last year, how – last year, Tony Romo got hurt and wasn't able to play. They were able to get a top draft pick, and then the next season, they were an elite team and were able to go pretty much. I think they went 13-3 last year, won at least 13 games. So I think we're gonna have that type of turnaround next year.
Now with that leaky offensive line, you're not
and that badass defense.
Well, continue to stay at the AFC South, which is. The toilet bowl, the NFL, Adolphus Savage, what do you think about those Jags?
Well, first of all, honestly, I don't even remember what our record was. I think it was 13-3 or 4-12, some shit. We run a lot of close games. We had bad quarterback play. But I'm not going to sit here and have out my laundry list of complaints. The Jaguars should have did better. We were supposed to be the cream of the crop last year. But we will improve drastically this year. On paper, we look like the division champs from a defensive perspective. I mean, we have loads of talent. It's oozing talent, and we're only going to be better than we were last year, which last year, I believe we were a top five or top six defense. In the draft, I'm actually hoping for a trade down scenario, but if we're stuck at four, I would like Leonard Fournette. Second round, Forrest Lamp, if he drops, or Dan Feeney. Both of those are guards. I do think if we are able to get a trade back, I would like to trade back with Carolina to 8, let them take Fournette or whoever they would like, and I would either like to pick up Cam Robinson out of Alabama, or I would like to pick up O.J. Howard out of Alabama tight end, or Dalvin Cook. Number one pick for me is going to be Cam Robinson, because I think that we need to shore up this offensive line. I look at a team like the Titans. They were able to take that next step because of how good their offensive line is. Overall, unlike Mr. Marcus Sniffles, I'm not going to be unrealistic with my approach. I'm not going to sit here and lie to myself. I'm going to tell the truth. I believe 6-10, 7-9 is a fair assessment of our team. I believe that we're going to have a good defense again. We're going to bring our lunch pails to the fight every week. We're going to split with the Colts like we've been doing the last few years. And that's what I think my team can do. I think 6-10, 7-9 is a fair assessment for those big cat Jacksonville Jaguars. Anybody got something to say, you sucker ass niggas?
I do.
28-3.
They're top flight top five overall pick and quarterback Blake Bortles has more pick sixes than he does road wins. So I'm sure that's good to know that they're building around that kind of quarterback.
Well, your quarterback is ugly. So
he is ugly. I agree with you.
And let's be real. We all know they're going to end up drafting another wide receiver, a small wide receiver.
Anyways, moving on. So I am the resident Atlanta Falcons fan. Rise up. We had a couple of horrendous calls by referees that I feel that took a couple wins from us, which didn't really matter at the end. Of course, we made it to the Super Bowl, and we blew probably one of the biggest. We had one of the biggest choke jobs in NFL history. I'm over it. It's cool, whatever. In our coach's second year, getting to the Super Bowl, I feel, is working with house money. Being that we have a lot of young talent on the defense, I think that's great. Six out of our 11 starters, I'm sorry, on defense were either rookies or second-year players. So I feel that we have a good foundation to build upon. So what I think our needs are for the draft, based on the moves made in the offseason, picking up Dontari Poe, which I'm hoping he'll have the same impact on the defensive line as Alex Mack had for the offensive line last year, essentially improving every player around him, you know, the other making Grady Jarrett even better because he had essentially his coming out party in the Super Bowl, which had we not choked, I feel it would have been hard not to vote for him as the MVP of the game because he was balling out of control. Hopefully he makes him better, continues to help him elevate his game, make Vic Beasley better. So I feel, speaking of Vic Beasley, I think that our biggest need is another bookend on the other side of Beasley. They're saying we might get this guy Tyus Bauer, who essentially, by the numbers, is a poor man's version of Vic Beasley, which I do not want. I want a big monster defensive end like Taco Charlton, who is listed at 6'6", 277. I need that guy. That is who I want, but I feel that we'll end up drafting maybe Forrest Lamp, which I'm not too mad about because I feel we should infuse young talent on the offensive line like we did last year with the defense, putting young linebackers and young ends out there to help grow for the future. So I won't be mad at that. Me personally, I want Taco Charlton, which in some drafts people have been falling to the second round. So I hope we can get that guy and that Dan Quinn get the best out of him. But I'm not going to lie, I have a sneaky suspicion because last year with the Keanu Neal pick, I was kind of shocked. But based on who we play and trying to keep up with the moves the Patriots have made as far as picking up tight ends and receivers, I wouldn't be shocked. And I would hate if this happens. I wouldn't be shocked if we picked up Jabril Peppers only because of his versatility as far as many things he did in Michigan. Even though I feel he didn't play a true position, I think that because Dan Quinn likes those versatile players, he can return kicks. He was listed in the combine as a linebacker, done literally everything you can think of on the field. So we know Dan Quinn loves those versatile players. So we're playing Green Bay and the Saints and the Patriots. They're deep receivers like throw the ball around the yard, so it never hurts to have the DB that can slide around, you know, the defensive backfield and make plays. So again, I'm being realistic. Again, people laughed my prediction last year, which I was pretty solid on. But this year, looking at the record pre-draft, just from looking at the schedule we have, I have us going either 12-4 or 13-3, winning the NFC South and going to the playoffs. So rise up.
Not a delusional nigga, but okay.
Doug, I picked our record last year.
Question for you. Question for you though, South Breeze, are you not worried about the Bucks or the Panthers?
Absolutely not. I mean, with the Bucks, it's cool they got DeSean Jackson, but unless Jameis Winston shows to be something that he hasn't been his entire collegiate career, then I'm not worried about it. Cool, he has DeSean Jackson, but all that means is the interceptions he throws are going to be further downfield. You know what I'm saying? Like,
wow,
that's the truth.
That he throws support your quarterbacks.
He's known for throwing picks. Like, he throws a lot of picks. That's not a big concern. They have a lot of holes. Like, I looked at their draft. They need DBs. So I'm hoping they do draft young DBs. So Julio Jones and Tyler Gabriel, Mohamed Sanu, and Justin Hardy can torch them up and down the field. And they don't have any running backs because Doug Martin was on cocaine or Blue Magic or that Heisenberg Blue Meth and didn't get to play at the end of the season. As far as Carolina's concerned, like, whoo, buddy. Their receiver core is questionable. Kelvin Benjamin, he's inconsistent. Their offensive line has some issues. Cam Newton, I mean, he's a physical specimen, but as a passer, he's not where he probably should be. A lot of people thought when they had Calvin Benjamin last year that that would be the big piece, put them over the edge. It just wasn't it. Like, it just wasn't there. So I'm not too concerned with those two teams. I think we handle our business. If we lose, I feel it's going to be us beating ourselves, to be honest.
Even saying, like, the Bucks, if they were to get, like, because I know they was looking at Dalvin Cook. They was looking at John Ross and some of the other receivers. But even if they had one of those guys that could come in and probably make an impact for their offense, you still not worried about it? Even if, like, Winston, because he is a pick machine. He turns the ball over a lot. But I think it's more so because they ask a lot of him. They ask him to do a lot.
He's an NFL quarterback. They ask a lot from the quarterbacks, as they should. As far as getting a rookie receiver, not too many rookie receivers are worth their weight in sand, pretty much. Essentially, not too many rookie receivers put up numbers or as successful as the Julio Jones or the A.J. Greens, wherever he went. The Calvin Johnson. It's not common that a rookie receiver comes in and is that guy. Plus, I feel that our defense is going to be the thing that people are going to be talking about, as opposed to our record-setting offense that we had last year. So,
well, I think y'all's offense is not going to be record-setting again, of course, because that's hard to duplicate, and you lost your offensive coordinator. But I will say, I do agree with you about your assessment of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. As long as you got a guy look at his turnover. He's a turnover machine.
That's his MO. That's what he does. He throws picks. So I'm like, all right, well, cool. You get DeSean Jackson, you're just going to throw an 80-yard pick at somebody.
I mean, yeah, he's only had like 2 years in the league, and he has a lot of picks, like both years deep into the double digits of picks. I want to say he has like 28, 29 total interceptions, something like that. I looked it up earlier with El Breezy. Might be 31. I think he's 55 and 31. A lot of picks are being thrown by the guy. I don't believe in him, so I wouldn't trust him. But I will say, as far as the Panthers, I would fear if they were able to get Leonard Fournette or Dalvin Cook and address their offensive line the rest of the way through that draft. They still have some pillars on that defense. They still have Cam Newton. And if they can get back to that ground and pound game, they can be dangerous again.
And they did not go to Atlanta
and beat you guys.
They did bring in, they got the Khalil brothers. I know that. They brought the guy, I forget which one it is, Matt Khalil. I think they brought him over from the Vikings. But I mean, I think if they got Fournette or Cook, and then, like you said, they show up that offensive line, I would be scared of that ground and pound. If they was add another receiver, and this draft is pretty deep with receivers, and to jump on the Titans, like Titan fans out there, like a lot of them, like I was saying earlier, like they're all like Mike Williams, Mike Williams, Mike Williams. This draft is pretty damn deep. We don't need to take a receiver in the first round with either of those two first round picks. You got a guy like Malachi Dupree out of LSU. You got Carlos Henderson out of Louisiana Tech. A lot of people don't know about him, but that guy's actually pretty good. It's other guys that I feel as though that could come in and make an impact for us. And the thing is, too, I mean, you saying you want Mike Williams. I mean, don't forget, we're a ground-and-pound team. We ain't going to be throwing the ball first. We run the ball first.
Now, let me ask you this. Being that I keep up with the Titans to an extent or watch them because that's your team, even if y'all do get a receiver, I honestly felt that y'all should have picked up a cat like Alshon Jeffries, who is not a burner, but he's a possession receiver. That seems to be what Mariota needs, because y'all don't throw the ball deep. Like, when you have what's old boy named tight end?
Delanie Walker.
Delanie Walker. When you have him as your leading receiver for a season, that shows you y'all guys aren't bombing it deep. So I don't think that y'all really need, a top guy. I think if y'all can find a nice, mid-range possession type guy, y'all be fine.
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of Titans fans feel as though we need that burner. We don't need that burner. We actually need a possession receiver. We don't. Because, I mean, you look at Tajay Sharpe, he's not a burner. The burner for us is Matthews, Rashard Matthews. He came from the Dolphins. He surprised the hell out of me the season they had last year. I didn't think he was going to – I mean, I figured he would contribute somewhat, but not in the way that he did. I mean, he helped out Delanie. Him and Delanie was holding it down. But that's why I say, like, if you look in this draft, like you look at D.D. Westbrook, there's guys that we could get in the third round. We have two third-round draft picks. We don't have to use our two first-round. We need to use those two first-round draft picks to show up that defense, because people want to say Mariota needs a weapon. No, Mariota needs a solid defense to hold it down. I mean, that ground and pound, having a good ground and pound game and having a good defense, it's all what you need. And then you got a quarterback that could manage the game.
I mean, that's what you need in the playoffs. You got to get there, though. You know what I'm saying? Even though y'all lucked in or rolled into a 9-7 season, that stuff works once you're in the playoffs. But to get there, y'all got to be able to, you know, keep up with these teams that are airing out, scoring, you know, 21, 28, 30-plus points.
And I agree with you with that. And I was, me and the Dolphins, we were talking about that earlier, and that's my thing, too. That's what I'm interested with this season, because we're playing against some good defenses. The Jags, they had a top five defense. Playing against the Seahawks. I think the Ravens had a top defense. The Steelers. And I'm glad we have a tough schedule like this, because I want to see Mariota make plays against good defenses. Because, like, last year, I feel as though we really didn't play anybody, which we didn't. I mean, not to take away from our 9-7, but some of those teams we beat, some of the teams we faced, they weren't that good. They didn't have good defenses, or they didn't have a good offense. Like, you look at the Broncos game, Mariota had, like, 88 yards passing. The ground game and the defense is what won that game. The Chiefs game, he had two turnovers. He did have that. He led us to the field goal. He drove us up the field to get in field goal range. But outside of that, the ground and pound, they couldn't stop Murray. And that's another thing, too, is I don't like the fact that people don't give Murray the credit that he deserves. Like, I've heard people say the reason why that offense was good wasn't because of Murray. It wasn't because of the offensive line, which where the trenches where it starts for football. But for them to sit there and say that Mariota is the reason why the offense is going, I was like, come on, man.
Now, going back to Winston, last year he had 28 touchdowns to 18 picks. The year before, his rookie year, he had 22 touchdowns to 15 picks. So even though his touchdowns go up, it seems like his interceptions go up, you know, in the same increment. So that'll be something to watch. So, Marcus, I'm going to go through everybody. Who is one player do you think to watch out this year on your team is going to make an impact a lot of people might not pay attention to?
A player that
maybe somebody pick up a free agency coming, or something like that. Yeah.
Honestly, I'd probably go, like, we didn't really pick up a lot of, like, big impact players, but I would look for, and it's going to be more so off the field. I would Frank Gore to be for the young running back is that they draft. I kind of expect him to be the mentor role the same way Reggie Wayne was for T.Y. Hilton and the way Marvin Harrison was for Reggie Wayne when he came in. I expect Frank Gore to be able to somewhat be productive but not getting 30 carries a game, and to be able to show the young guys how to, you know, be professionals, how to be a running back, help him in the film room. That's kind of what it's one of those, see his impact on the field. I feel like we didn't see Reggie Wayne's impact on the field as far as numbers wise his last season, but I felt like the stuff he was doing off the field is what ultimately helped turn T.Y. Hilton into the, I would argue, the second best player on the Colts roster right now.
I will say, though, as a Titans fan, y'all made some additions on defense that kind of worried me. I mean, you brought in Jabal Sheard, you brought in Jonathan Hankins. Y'all brought in Sean Spence from us and Al Woods from us. Not so much Al Woods. Sean Spence, he's a good player. But Jabal Sheard, and then y'all picked up John Simon from the Texans. John Simon.
He probably doesn't know any of these people, just to be honest.
But Jabal Sheard and John Simon, they both are pretty good outside pass rushers. And how y'all front actually kind of hammered us last year, both games, because, like, leading up to the game, the first time we played against y'all, I was like, okay, sure. I mean, how we manhandle some of these other teams, Colts, they ain't nothing. I think at the time y'all was, like, on a losing streak or whatever. But then how y'all came out there, actually was able to bottle up Murray and get pressure on Mariota, I'm like, well, damn. But now that you got these guys that I know, I'm sure other fans that actually, like, watched other teams and follow football pretty deep, like how I like to do, they know that Jabal Sheard and John Simon are actually pretty good. Those are two good additions for y'all on defense. Although with y'all secondary, though, I don't know what the secondary. Y'all see, I mean,
I've read pretty much everybody say that who we've picked up have been solid contributors, but we haven't really picked up. We haven't made that ultra super splash type play in free agency.
Who do you think a player to look out for this season for Jacksonville Jaguars as an offense?
Shit. I don't know. Shit. Whoever we draft, number four, I assume, is going to be the breakout player of the year, because obviously Bortles is going to suck it up.
What about Fowler? This is technically like his second.
Nigga, are you cursing at me, or why'd you just cuss at me?
I didn't cuss you. I said.
Yeah, you just cussed at me.
What did I say?
You said the F word.
I said Fowler.
Yeah, that's a fucking cuss word to me, because he's trash too.
Bruh, he had breakout. He only had, this is his quote-unquote second year. You know what I'm saying?
Like, okay, maybe I won't say trash, but he has a long way to go. I don't even think that, I think he's going to be a rotational piece at this point, and all you can do is hope and pray. But I have to be realistic with you. I do believe that whomever we draft at number four is going to be the impact player, i.e. Leonard Fournette or whomever we decide to pick. I think that Fowler, he has the opportunity to improve, but I think Ngakoue is going to start. He's not going to be able to beat out Campbell. I don't know why they don't try him out as Sam instead of trotting out old ass Paz Posnuski out there to try to be the Sam linebacker.
The goat. They got that man.
I'm going to make a bold prediction here, and I've been waiting to do this for so long.
Jesus.
Cowboys Nation, 2018 Super Bowl champions. I think the Cowboys are going to run the gauntlet. They're going to beat the Patriots for the Super Bowl championship. That's my bold prediction. That's what you call impact, baby!
Okay, anyways, first of all, that was out of left field. Second of all, what makes you think that that Tom Brady is still going to be in the league in, 2 years, essentially? Like,
that's in 2018. That's next year.
Oh, well, you know, I was bad at math. Shout out to the Georgia school systems. No, come on, man.
They have the best offensive line in football.
How'd that work out for them last year?
They damn near came back and won the game and would have beat Atlanta in Dallas.
Okay.
They have a young quarterback, a lot of young defensive parts that they're going to be getting back, hopefully due to suspension. They're going to have another year to draft, another year to jail. I believe Dallas is going to win the Super Bowl next year.
Their biggest issue.
Jerry Jones is going to die.
But they don't have, wow.
He sold his soul.
But they don't have a.
They'll die in November.
They don't have a legit pass rusher. Then they lost the two back end safeties. I think they might drop Scandrick back there. I know they drafted a cornerback last year. The year before that, they got Byron Jones. Yeah, I don't know, man. I still think their defense is going to be their weak link.
I don't think it's going to be their necessarily defense, but it's really going to depend on your boy Dak Prescott. I'm not going to be unbiased. Like, they have a squad as far as with Zeke. It depends on how Dez Bryant reacts. If he can get on the same page with Dez, you could argue that they can make it to the NFC Championship, where I think they'll ultimately lose to the Falcons. But
I think it does matter.
It's going to depend on Dak, because like I said, there's plenty of games you can go to. Specifically, the one that stood out to me was the Thanksgiving game. This dude, like, it's like Dez was invisible to him. Like, Dez would be downfield breaking somebody off on a post, wide open, waving his hands, and he would throw it 7 yards to his boy Cole Beasley, which I can understand because they probably played a lot, got a lot of reps together in like the second team, but. They're probably comfortable together, but you know, you got to be able to find your moneymaker, Dez Bryant, who's out there molesting folks, and you're just not getting the ball, which I think Tony Romo would have gotten the ball.
You also got to remember that Dak was also a rookie last year.
And that's fair. That's fair. I understand.
He also got a ton of playoff experience this last year as far as how to come back from adversity, being down big in the playoffs, and then being able to lead your team and at least make it more competitive. Even I think they might even tied up the game. And I think that playoff experience is going to be pretty big for his development. Because if you look at other quarterbacks, say a Jameis Winston, a Blake Bortles, or Marcus Mariota, and all these other quarterbacks, they don't have the playoff experience that a Dak Prescott has. And I think that will help improve him in the long haul. I think it speeds up his development a little bit compared to his contemporaries.
Well, we'll kind of jump on that. Is he even the best quarterback in his division, though? Because the Dolphins gonna make a bold prediction. I'll make a bold prediction. I think that Carson Wentz is a better quarterback than him. I think he is the best quarterback in that division. Racist.
He just ain't got no weapons.
Carson has a lot of shit. Yo, Carson Wentz can he can move in the pocket. He can throw lasers. He's pretty accurate from the couple. I mean, he had his ups and downs as a rookie, just like that. Yeah, yeah. But he didn't have the benefit of having, you know, the best offensive line or Ezekiel Elliott or Dez Bryant. If they get that dude some weapons, I feel he's going to be a breakout player next year.
I mean, Carson Wentz in the long haul might be better, but it's hard to look at someone like Dak Prescott playing behind that offensive line, having Dez Bryant to throw to and having Zeke Elliott and saying like that those guys just being you give any quarterback those three ingredients, a top flight number one receiver, a top flight number one running back. Dez Bryant is a really, really good receiver, whatever. Dez Bryant is a number one receiver. Can we agree on that? Can I get to my point?
Sure.
If you have a number one receiver and a dual threat running back like Ezekiel Elliott, and you have a top ten offensive line, you give any quarterback those ingredients, you have a recipe for a Super Bowl team for the most part. Like, you're pretty much 95% of the way there if you have all that. All Dak needs to be is competent. Just be competent and don't turn the ball over. Make a couple of dynamic plays here and there and you're fine.
Well, let's talk about Zeke, though. I mean, how really good is Zeke?
Yeah, I have my own personal takes on Zeke Elliott. I honestly don't think that he should have been drafted that high.
Nope.
I don't think he's a bad running back. I think he's a great running back. I just think that the Cowboys reached for him. I thought they could have – they needed a defensive player instead of another running back, especially when you consider that offensive line that they have. You can put a lot of running backs behind that line.
And they tried that great running back by committee the year before last, and it didn't work out with Randall –
Romo also got hurt that year. Also,
they should have rolled with Morris, though. I think they should gave him a shot.
I think they'd rather prefer to have like. And this is all, you know, if Romo was healthy, that's pretty much where all this came from. If Romo was healthy, then they would prefer to have a Joey Bosa or Jalen Ramsey. But if you have someone like Dak Prescott, you're going to need a dynamic playmaker at running back to take the pressure off of him. Because if they have Tony Romo back there, Ezekiel Elliott isn't the leading rusher in the NFL because he's not getting that many carries because Tony Romo is able. They can be a little bit of a more balanced team. When you have a rookie quarterback, you tend to lean on the run more.
Yeah.
And you put Ezekiel Elliott on the Colts, he still gets 1,000 yards. He's
makes big
plays. He gets 1,000. Okay.
Colts offensive line? Come on.
Okay. But that's how good I think he is. I really think Ezekiel Elliott is really that good. He could get 1,000 yards rushing. Like, 1,000 yards rushing isn't that big of a deal in the NFL right now. I just don't think he'd be the number one leading rusher in the league.
Yeah, so back to Dez Bryant. I'm looking at last year's stats. As far as reception yards, he's not in the top
20?
30?
Well, they didn't necessarily use him as much, but this isn't a podcast about the Cowboys or anything like that.
I just found it interesting. Even in touchdowns, he's not in the top.
He also had a rookie quarterback, and they also turned into a heavy running team. So you can't expect Dez Bryant to put up Julio Jones or Odell Beckham numbers.
Well, they had the same amount of touchdowns, but okay, cool.
Well, and he's actually fallen off too, by the way.
Who?
Freaking Dez Bryant, he's fallen off. He's lost a step, in my opinion.
Well, he's never been a burner, but anyways, continue.
How far do you think the Colts will make it to the playoffs if they do make it to the playoffs?
13-3.
Honestly, get their backs blown out by the Patriots.
Yeah, I was gonna say, as long as we don't run into the Patriots, it's one of the things where you want to bet against the Patriots, but they keep time and time again, they come back and win every time. So I'm not going to sit here and say, you know what, the Colts got a chance to beat the Patriots because they rarely ever do in the playoffs. They beat them one time in the playoffs. So
shout out to Derek Carr for breaking his leg and ruining the AFC playoff standings because they definitely would have went to the Super Bowl.
I honestly feel like if the Colts have a good draft and everybody stays, for the most part, relatively healthy. I think they can play with any team in the AFC. I just wake up every day. I wake up every day and pray that Tom Brady wakes up old. But then, you know, if he wakes up old, they have Jimmy Garoppolo. So it's like, what can you do?
I'm still not sold on that guy. Yeah, I'm still not sold on that guy.
Let's not do that. So.
He might be, another Brock. On him, so, yeah, he might be like a Brock Osweiler for all we know.
Well, to wrap up, so El Breezy, what's your bold prediction of the season since the Dolphins is snorting cocaine and wilding out?
My bold prediction is that the Jacksonville Jaguars will take the AFC South. The Jacksonville Jaguars is going to make it to the AFC Championship. The Jacksonville Jaguars will be the Super Bowl champions.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Blake Bortles is going to throw for 5,000 yards. He's going to have like 40 touchdowns and 10 picks.
Okay, so everybody's on the blue net tonight. Marcus, what is your bold prediction for this NFL season?
Bold prediction? I'm gonna say that I don't know. Is it bold to say that the Seahawks are gonna make it to the Super Bowl, or is that kind of like a favorite?
Nah, that's bold. I would say it's
kind of bold. Yeah. Now I was gonna wrap up, but what makes you think the Seahawks like? Did you not watch the Seahawks play last year?
Yeah, I thought they didn't. I mean, they didn't play great, but I think that they have a chance. I like their quarterback. I like their defense.
That offensive
line have a really good. Their offensive line is bad, but they have a really good home field advantage, and I like Russell Wilson. He's a dynamic player.
Yeah, a home field advantage that they had to cheat beat the Falcons, but that's
new. Let's slow down on the cheating at home field advantage when you got the Falcons pumping in home like crowd noise and stuff. So let's pump the brakes on that.
First of all, that was like what, 3 years ago.
Second of all,
we had a losing season, so it obviously didn't help. I'm talking about what happened recently. That really adds no weight to the argument. Me and the Dolphin Savage was at the playoff game with Atlanta against Seattle. I'm not going to lie. The first quarter of the game or the first part of the game looked like Seattle could run at will. I was like, oh, shit, it's about to be, you know, they're about to run over us. Very quickly, Seattle looked like a team that had no business being there. I don't see what's going to change from this year to next year that's going to make them all of a sudden a great Super Bowl contender.
One more thing.
Let's not discount that Russell Wilson is about to have a kid. So let's keep that, you know, let's factor that in, because that could be an effect on his, you know, ability to study or prepare like he wants to. Seemingly, you know, Cam Newton had a little bit of a slump after his secret child was born. So that's something you can watch out for too. So
didn't he make it to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, and they lost badly.
Okay. Either way,
that's the game before the only game they lost that season was to Atlanta, was that week that he had his kid and took an L.
And then he won three playoff games to get to the Super Bowl. Big distraction.
Where they lost. But anyways, I just don't see what your argument is that the Seahawks are. I feel like that's the narrative of the Seahawks. Oh, Legion of Boom. When they were talking that Legion of Boom nonsense, Julio and Roddy White was torching them in the playoffs. Like, that's fake news. That's all some Trump shit.
I'm not trying to argue. You just asked for a bold prediction I gave you. Oh, big Seahawks can make it to the Super Bowl. Like, whatever. It's not that serious. It's just a bold prediction.
You're right. I can't wait. We can't wait to play them again. And
you said the Cleveland Browns gonna make it to the.
Yeah, we're gonna do it.
Come on,
do it.
Come
big.
On, like, Seahawks. Come on, yeah. Cleveland. Why do you think I said
okay,
the Jaguars?
Okay, I'll give you this.
I think the Jaguars if they make it to a damn Super Bowl.
Maybe I'm mad in 2017 if you put it on rookie.
Wait, whoa!
And put my dick on your team.
I know that this little coon, little Bill.
And I feel that we're about to. I feel that the Dolphins' mic is about to get muted. So tread lightly.
My mic is not about to get muted. That's out of control.
Oh, sorry, man. This is that time of year again. I'm sorry. I can't wait for.
So yeah, me neither. So again, this is our sports recap. Not even recap. It's our sports little take. Like, it's our hot takes. We're gonna try to do this more often. Come holler at us. Come get on. Comment. You know, rate, subscribe on iTunes. And this is the Committee Podcast. We out. Peace. Any closing words from the rest of y'all? No.
Nah, I ain't got no closing words.
Super Bowl champion, Seattle Seahawks.
Come on, man. Cleveland Browns.
Oh, and anybody that wants it in that Madden when it comes out, holler at your boy. Black_excellence on PS4. We out. Peace.